Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're listening to KCAW Sitka, where it is Monday, March 18th, and time for Raven News. I'm Chris Todd. Lots of whales, but not a lot of herring. Not yet, anyway. That's the report from the first aerial survey of the 2013 herring season in Sitka Sound. Alaska Department of Fish and Game officials found 24 whales in the sound, mostly between Kruzoff Island and Crow Island, and offshore of North Middle Island. Sea lions were reported off Mountain Point and Inner Point. The location of the predators suggests to state officials that herring are most concentrated in the trenches north and west of Middle Island, and they say that's normal for this time of year. All the buildup is in anticipation of Sitka's commercial herring fishery. The fish caught in Sitka are used primarily for their roe, which is sold in Japan, still in the egg sac. The fishery itself has been incredibly lucrative in the past for fishermen, although last year's catch wasn't as big as expected. Officials expect to take a sample of fish today. They'll monitor the percentages of mature roe in the fish in order to determine when the fishery should open. While Sea Alaska Vice President Rick Harris was in Sitka last Wednesday to promote a revised land selection bill, he also used the opportunity to address many Sitkans' top concern with the corporation, its decision to select land through separate legislation at Redoubt Lake Falls. The regional Native corporation selected the site under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act in 1976. The conveyance has been percolating in the federal bureaucracy ever since. The arrival of a survey team from the Bureau of Land Management in 2011 galvanized local response to the selection. Harris told the Sitka Chamber of Commerce that the decision to choose Redoubt was made by the original Sea Alaska board members from Sitka. That news was overshadowed by more recent strong reactions.
As soon as we started walking into it, everybody assumed the worst, which is that ends the sockeye subsistence fishery. And so we didn't. That was not our intent, and we didn't expect that.
The main difference between Redoubt Falls then and now is the U.S. Forest Service's Lake Fertilization Program. Over the past two decades, the Redoubt system has become one of the most important, if not the most important, subsistence sockeye areas for Sitka. Harris says fears that Sea Alaska would privatize the falls or restrict access were unfounded.
That site should be continued to be managed as a site that is available for the sockeye enhancement program to continue, and for the public at large to be able to use that site for the sockeye subsistence fishery.
In response to questions from the audience, Harris also said that the deed restrictions and covenants for the sites prohibited logging. Last year, the trustees of the former Sheldon Jackson College filed what's called a color of title claim on the site to block the corporation's selection. Harris told the chamber he thought Sea Alaska was the better deal.
If they buy it or if they receive it, then of course it doesn't come with any of the protections that would have if Sea Alaska gets it. If we receive title, we cannot allow uses that are incompatible or inconsistent with the purpose for which the site was conveyed. The site is being conveyed to us as a site for a subsistence sockeye fishery. So we feel, and as we've tested this, that this site is permissible to have public use, public access, and to continue the sockeye enhancement program.
An audience member asked Harris outright if Sea Alaska would log Redoubt. He replied, quote, "Even if I acted like we are logging one of those sites, then I wouldn't be standing in this room," end quote. He also said another development, like tourism lodges, were prohibited under the section of federal law that allows Sea Alaska's selection. To hear extended audio of Sea Alaska Vice President Rick Harris's comments on the Redoubt Falls selection and to find links to earlier reporting on this issue, you can visit our website at kcaw.org. The House passed its version of the state operating budget last week, trimming the governor's proposal by $100 million. Debate over the bill didn't result in any changes, but the Democratic minority used it as a way to put their funding priorities on record. APRN's Alexandria Gutierrez reports.
Debate on the operating budget started in the dark. The lights flickered out, and one legislator reacted by jokingly asking if the cause was budget cuts. It turned out that someone had accidentally hit the switch, but the tone had been set. The next year would be a lean one. Representative Alan Osterman, a Kodiak Republican who co-chairs the Finance Committee, said as much while introducing the document on the House floor.
This budget begins a process of slowing the growth of state government.
The specter of declining oil production and thus declining state revenue hung over the room. At $9.8 billion, the House operating budget shaves a percentage point off Governor Sean Parnell's version and holds spending on state agencies at zero growth. It took more than 4 hours for the House to pass the bill. Democrats introduced amendment after amendment, 9 in total. Some were big-ticket items, like one to increase school funding by $240 million over the next 3 years as a way of combating staff cuts. Some focused just on trying to restore funding that had initially been included in the governor's budget for things like pre-kindergarten education and behavioral health. Every one of them failed. Without the numbers to get any of their changes through, the 9 Democrats in attendance used the session as a way of showing how they would like state money to be spent. Here's Representative Scott Kawasaki of Fairbanks.
The budget's a moral document, and it speaks to this legislature's priorities. It speaks to our values, speaks to this legislature's common vision for Alaska.
They argued that their amendments would save the state money in the long run. On the subject of early education, they cited studies that more funding for programs like parents as teachers would mean less money spent on remediation for students down the road. One legislator pushed for increasing funding for therapeutic courts by talking about how they reduce criminal recidivism, all while drawing a comparison to the film version of Les Miserables. Representative Les Guerra of Anchorage also pointed out that in total, the money that the minority caucus wanted to add to the document was still under the governor's target.
This disagreement is about 1%. With the Democratic amendments that you heard today, we would have had a budget, if they passed, less than the 1% budget growth the governor proposed. A smaller budget than what the governor proposed.
But the bottom line for the majority caucus was that looking ahead, the state just won't have the money. Representative Mark Newman, a Republican from Big Lake, described the cuts as painful but necessary.
There's nobody who wants to cut funding to kids that are disabled, mentally handicapped, the seniors. Nobody wants to do that. But it's going to get even worse. It's going to get even more difficult if we do not take steps today.
The operating budget ultimately passed on a 29-8 vote, with all but one Democrat voting against it. It will now move on to the Senate. In Juneau, I'm Alexandra Gutierrez.
Teenagers from across the state were in Juneau last week, pushing lawmakers to adopt legislation that promotes local food production and provides better food security for Alaskans. The Alaska Youth for Environmental Action also handed out the group's annual Legislator of the Year awards at a barbecue across the street from the Capitol building. KTOO's Casey Kelly has more.
It's a bright, sunny day in the capital city. Perfect barbecue weather, except for the strong winds gusting down Main Street. That's not stopping the 20 delegates to the Alaska Youth for Environmental Action Civics and Conservation Summit who huddle around the grill to stay warm. As fresh king salmon sizzles nearby, 17-year-old Paige Creekbaum says there should be more food made in the state.
We import a lot of carrots and like potatoes, a lot of root kind of things that we can make ourselves.
Each year, AYEA focuses on 4 pieces of legislation for the organization's Juneau fly-in. The delegates work in teams to research bills or resolutions and meet with lawmakers to push the group's legislative agenda. Creekbaum worked on a resolution that calls for a state working group to explore ways to improve food production in Alaska.
In the Matsu Valley, they have a lot of rich soil and such a long day that we can plant a lot of things in there. So really, local food should be a really big thing here.
Creekbaum is a senior at Bartlett High School in Anchorage. She also works part-time at a bakery and plans to enter the culinary arts program at the University of Alaska Anchorage after graduation. Local food is very important to her.
And that's really what our thing is here this year is to promote local food and have a local food future for Alaska.
Three of AYEA's legislative priorities this year deal with food issues. The fourth, House Bill 96, would ban toxic chemicals in children's toys sold in the state. Togiak High School junior William Kohuk promoted that legislation in meetings with lawmakers.
I'm pretty worried about babies who are teething. They're like sucking into these toxic chemicals and like sucking them into their bodies.
Kohuk says nearly 20 other states have passed legislation similar to HB 96.
And why hasn't Alaska banned these toxic chemicals? That's a question that I'm going to ask my representative, Bob Heron, today.
Five lawmakers received Legislator of the Year awards from AYEA this year.
Hey, everyone. We would like to give some awards to some representatives we picked who are fighting for our food future.
The recipients include Senator Bill Willikowski and Representatives Paul Seaton, Scott Kawasaki, Jonathan Christ-Tompkins, and Garen Tarr. Because of a House floor session, only Senator Willikowski was able to attend the awards presentation. It's the second year in a row the Anchorage Democrat has been honored by the Young Environmentalists.
I don't get too many awards from the big corporations, but I'm happy to have them from the kids who are the future of our state.
Willikowski was given the award for sponsoring Senate Bill 6, an effort to provide more funding to school meal programs in Alaska. It's currently stalled as the Republican-led Senate majority focuses on oil taxes, energy, and issues like school choice or vouchers.
That report filed by Casey Kelly from KTLO in Juneau. It's just a few seconds before 8:01. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. Good morning.